Now, I'll ask you to turn to the New Testament of your Bible, the Gospel of Luke. So if you have a Bible, the New Testament, the second half of the Bible, begins with four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And I'm going to read from the third of those Gospels, the Gospel of Luke. Luke chapter 16, then, will be the chapter that we read from. And we're going to read part of a story that the Lord Jesus told. It was a true story. And while I'm not going to read all of it, I am going to read enough of it to make one or two points tonight. Luke's Gospel, chapter 16. And we're going to read beginning at verse number 19. Luke chapter 16 and verse number 19. Jesus said, "There was a certain rich man, which was clothed in purple and fine linen, and fared sumptuously every day." Now, I'll just pause and tell you that the Lord Jesus was likely referring to a man who was a king. A man who wore purple in that day was almost invariably a king. And so we believe that the man that Christ was talking about, this rich man that ate so well and was clothed so well, was a king. Verse 20 tells us about a man who lived in his kingdom. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at the king's gate full of sores, and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man or the king's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. Now, verse 22 is where the story gets interesting. Because all of us know that we live in a world that is marked by vast differences. There are people who are noble, there are people who are mighty, there are people that are wealthy. I read the other day that, 1% of the people in the world control half of the money in the world. Doesn't seem right, but that's the way it is in our world. And there are poor people. And thankfully in Canada and in the United States, of course, many of us are in what we would consider to be the middle class. We're not rulers, but we're not in abject poverty. That is because God is good. And the Bible says that the goodness of God should lead us to repentance. But I want to read the part of the story that the Lord Jesus is moving our thoughts to, because verse 22 tells us, "And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom," that is, into paradise. Or perhaps for the children that are here, just to simplify this, the poor man was carried into heaven when he died. Now let us read about something else. "Came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into heaven. The rich man also died and was buried." And now the story takes another turn. "And in hell, the rich man lift up his eyes, being in torments." A few years ago, I was in New Jersey, where my wife is from, and I stopped in a shopping center and needed to pick up some things for our trip. And I looked across the parking lot and I saw a store that had a name in big red letters. And I have a pretty good sense of humor. And when I saw the name of the store, I burst into laughter. It was a store for pregnant women. And there's nothing funny about that. But what was funny was the name. It was just this. It was called Destination Maternity. I thought that was great. Destination maternity. I got in my car and I my curiosity was aroused. I thought, where did that name come from? I wonder if the owner maybe was a Christian. And I'll tell you why I thought that. Because if Destination Maternity is a good title for people coming into the world, I want to speak tonight about Destination Eternity. Because I think those big red letters would be a good message for people like you and me who are passing through this world and about to go into the great beyond. I want to talk about eternity tonight. And I'm not going to tell a lot of happy stories or a lot of things to make you smile or laugh. Because this is serious business. We've already been reminded from this chart that all of us are on a road. All of us are on a road that is headed somewhere. And the language that the Bible uses to describe this road and where it's headed is this. The great and solemn word, red letters now. It is the word eternity. You know, the man who wrote this book, a man named Dr. Luke, was a man who saw, likely, a lot of people go into eternity. You know, in our modern 21st century, death is something, and we're sort of sanitized from it. We know people that die. And we have friends that die and people that we know in the community that die. But, you know, we don't have much contact with that. That takes place in hospitals. And you know, if there's an accident or someone's sick, they put them in an ambulance and they hustle them away. And you know, death is something that we keep at a distance. We don't like to think about the reality of it. But this man, Dr. Luke, doubtless, over his lifetime, had held in his arms maybe hundreds or thousands of men and women and perhaps little babies. Because, you know, in that world, there were many, many babies that died. I'm glad I live in 2015. I really am. But Dr. Luke was a man who knew about the reality and the seriousness of eternity. You know, the Bible has a very interesting statement. It says this, that it is appointed unto people once to die. And then it says this, after this. I want you to think about the great after this. I want you to spend some time in the 17 minutes that are left in this meeting to think about where you're going to be in the after this. Where you are headed tonight. And whether the direction that you are headed is going to take you to the place that you want to be. Because I want to tell you very simply tonight that you and I are going to exist forever. I know there are people in this world and the universities and the schools and the culture are filled with people who are now trying to argue that man is simply the product of chance and that his life is just some accident of biology and that when death finally comes, it is the dissolution of being. Nothing could be further from the truth. You and I are men and women who have been created by the power of God. You and I live, our breath is held in His hand, and there is a moment when that life will be claimed. And God will usher us into eternity, and you and I will exist forever in timeless, changeless, conscious being. And there's just one question tonight. Where are you? Boys, where are you? And girls, and students, and older folks here tonight. I'm not interested in whether you claim to be a Christian or whether you have no claim on Christianity, whatever. I'm not interested in any distinctions or divisions in this meeting. This is a question that challenges the preacher. It is a question that challenges the audience. It is a question that comes from God Himself. Friend, where are we going to be for all eternity? I've got 3 points. They're really simple. And I'm going to preach about them for 5 minutes each. We're going to pray and we're going to go home. But I hope that God in His grace will fix these upon your mind. And I hope that tonight, before this meeting is over, or before this night is over, you'll know for sure where you're going to be in eternity. I want to talk, first of all, about the reality of eternity. You know, here in Canada in the year 2015, we live in a very scientific, technologically oriented world. And I will grant you that I personally appreciate and enjoy and am excited about all of the progress that's made in our world. I'm all in, okay? It's a good thing. Our lives have been improved by it. Our knowledge grows with every passing year. Wonderful thing. But it comes with a great danger, and it's just this. People are being trained to think that if you can't see something, it's not real. Do you believe in unseen things tonight? Do you? I'm going to tell you, I do. In my pocket tonight is an iPhone. And you know, this is a pretty amazing thing. You know why? Because this iPhone tells me something that I might not otherwise know. You know what it is? That in this room tonight, this room is filled with a lot of things that I can't see. There are radio waves and telephone waves and television waves and all sorts of electronic messaging and pictures and information and video and everything that you can imagine. And this room is filled with it. The fact that I can't see it doesn't change for one moment its presence or its reality. Let me tell you something tonight. The fact that you and I can't see eternity, the fact that you and I personally cannot sense what lies in the great beyond, in no way reduces the reality that it truly exists. That's why Luke chapter 16 is such an important chapter in the Bible. And I'll tell you why. Because the Lord Jesus actually pulls back for our minds the great curtain of eternity. And the Lord Jesus allows us to look and see and understand something that we wouldn't otherwise understand. The Lord Jesus actually lets us see the eternal destiny of people. One man who went to heaven and one man who went to hell. Now, I don't know what your backgrounds are or what your belief system is. I don't know what you have been told in your life and in your background. But I'm going to tell you that this book that we hold and this book that we preach from, this book that we revere as God's Word written, the eternal, unchanging Word of the God of eternity, tells us this, that out there, beyond this world, beyond time, beyond human measurement, there lies the great eternity. You get this well into your mind tonight. This isn't Mr. Hunt's favorite theory of physics. And it's not Mr. Schutt's favorite theory of philosophy. It is the God of heaven who says, there is an after this. And the question for kids and the question for adults is, in that reality that lies ahead, where will I be? Doesn't matter where your friend is going to be. It doesn't matter where the person who brought you to meeting is going to be. It doesn't even matter to you, at least, where the preacher is going to be. What matters, friend? Where are you going to be? And you and other folks here, where are you going to be for eternity? I not only want to tell you about the reality of eternity, but I want to tell you about the possibilities of eternity. You know, I read a study recently. It's very fascinating to me. It was a study about stress. And sometimes I'm kind of a high-stress kind of a guy. And so I was reading this article about stress, and it was written by a psychologist. And his theory, at least, it's an interesting theory, was that one of the great roots of stress are the number of choices that we make in our life. I like to think about my grandpa. My grandpa, just think about the numbers that my grandpa had to remember. Let's see, he remembered his birthday. He remembered his wedding anniversary. He remembered his phone number. That pretty well covers the bases. Oh, I think he remembered his address most of the time until he got old. Huh? But, you know, look at us tonight. We're trying to remember 8,000 passwords for every... Maybe that's more applicable to adults than other people. I've got 3 pages of passwords for accounts that I have online. And there's all of the accoutrement of modern life. All of the things that press in on us. You know, choices. In a town that I live a few years ago, back before the fall of the Soviet Union, there was a lady who visited our town from Russia, from the Soviet Union. And the hostess in the home where she was thought it'd be a nice thing. She took her to the grocery store. Do you know that the lady did not believe that the grocery store was real? She thought it was just a bit of propaganda put on by the United States government to convince her that the U.S. and Canada were better than Russia. She couldn't believe it. In Russia, they were lucky if they got toilet paper. And here, you know, there's 8,000 varieties. 5-ply, 7-ply, it's like buying tires, you know. And 12,000 kinds of salad dressing and choices. Just to drive you crazy. But you know, folks, when it comes to eternity, God makes things really simple. God isn't here tonight to confuse you with a lot of options. He's here to give you some very simple choices. I want you to listen carefully. This story about these men that the Lord Jesus told reveals that there are only two choices for eternity. People will consciously live forever in the presence of God in a place called heaven, or they will exist consciously forever in a place away from God, a place of darkness and torment, a place called hell, and a place called the lake of fire. Two choices. Just this last few weeks, there's a series of gospel meetings going on just like this down in Detroit where I live. And I have a grandson that's been going to those meetings. He's only 4.5 years old. And there's a whole lot about the preaching that he's not understanding. But one night after the meeting, Mr. Peter Ramsey, who's preaching there, gave my grandson a little postcard, just about this big. And on that postcard was this map, the two roads and the two destinies that Mr. Ramsey had been preaching from. I was home the other day, and I went to see my grandson. And my grandson, after he said hi to Pop-Pop, he said, "I got something to show you, Pop-Pop." "What's that?" Well, he pulled out the postcard that Mr. Ramsey had given him. He said, "Pop-Pop," he said, "I explained something to you." I thought, this is going to be good. And it was. He said, "This place. Pop-Pop, you don't want to go to that place. And Pop-Pop, that place," he says, "that's the place we want. You know, excuse me, I don't mean to offend anybody here tonight. But if a 4-year-old can grasp that, I don't think there's any reason that you shouldn't grasp that in the meeting as well. God only has two choices. You and I are only going to be one of two places for all eternity. Listen, this message we're preaching about tonight is no fooling around. In this meeting, there are people that are going to enjoy the presence of God and the comfort of Christ and the joy of the Holy Spirit, the wonders that God has prepared for them that love Him, and they're going to enjoy it for all eternity. And I don't even want to say what I'm going to say next, but I could not myself be a faithful servant of Jesus Christ if I did not say this. There is a very real possibility that in a meeting like this, there are people who are going to go to the other place. And I tell you tonight, if you're not saved, you need to make an almighty effort tonight. lest you should ever end up in that place, a place that the Bible describes as being away from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of His might, a place that this story tells us is a place where a man is tormented forever and ever between him and blessing. There is a great gulf fixed. He is a man who has gone without Christ into eternity. And nothing is ever going to change. He is going to be there forever and forever and forever. And I just honestly want to ask you, is it possible that there will be somebody in this meeting and that's where you're going to be? God forbid. I want to tell you tonight from my heart that there's no reason to ever be in that place. Because long ago on the cross of Calvary, God sent His beloved Son. God sent Him to a place that was unimaginable. My dear friend David over here has been telling us about Isaiah 53. That the one who was exalted and extolled and very high was the one that God sent to the depths of the cross, where He would be bruised, where He would be wounded, where the chastisement, the wrath of God would descend upon Him, where the anguish of God's holy fury against sin would smite His soul, where He would sink into the darkness of death. You see, the Lord Jesus Christ went into suffering. The Lord Jesus Christ went into darkness. The Lord Jesus Christ went into death. You know why? So that you would never go there. That's why He died. That's why He said it's finished. That's why 3 days later, God ripped the stone from that tomb and the Lord Jesus arose. And tonight there's a living Savior. For one simple, solitary reason. The Lord Jesus went into the darkness and went into death so that you could have everlasting life. Dear friend, tonight, listen, if you're not saved, if your sins have never been forgiven, if you have no relationship with Jesus Christ, ahead of you in eternity lies eternal suffering. Oh, but the joy of knowing Jesus, the joy of receiving Him and the work that He has done. You see, to have Christ is to have everything you need for this life and forever. You don't need anything more, but nothing less will do. If you've got Christ, you have exactly what you need. And that's why Mr. Hunt and I have come, not to preach about ourselves and not to preach about this church or some creed or some program that we're promoting. Not at all. We've come to tell you about a person. A person who went down into the darkness of death so that you and I would not be in the darkness for all eternity. And so the reality of eternity, it's real, and we're going there. The possibilities of eternity, heaven or hell, forever and forever and forever. Let me just talk about one thing before I close the meeting. I want to talk about the finality of eternity. I think you know that right now while we're here down in the United States, the Super Bowl is being played. And I'm not a big football fan and I'm not a big follower of sports, but I do read the news and I'm aware that the New England Patriots and the Seattle Seahawks, I think, are playing in the Super Bowl. You know, they've had a long season behind them. They played a lot of games. And there have been good times for the teams and bad times. Some games they've won and some games they've lost. Sometimes they were really good and sometimes they were just kind of mediocre. But you know, none of those things in the past really mattered all that much. But tonight, you see, it's for all the marbles. Because one of those teams is going to be, who cares, but the Super Bowl champ for 2050. And the other team goes home with the tail between its legs. There's no do-overs. There's no, it wasn't fair, let's play it again. On the field tonight, wherever they're playing, I haven't the faintest idea. It's for all the marbles. The future forever will record who wins tonight and who loses. It's fixed. It's final. It's the way it's going to be. Now, I don't mean to bring the gospel down to a football game, and I think you know enough about me to know that that's not my point. But my point is this. There's a lot of things in life, if you don't like them, you do them again. You don't like your job? Go get another one. You don't like the school you're in? Go to another one. You don't like the house you're in? Sell it and buy another one. You all get the point. But when it comes to eternity, see, life's got lots of choices. You can choose Christ tonight. You can choose to go on in your sins. I can't force you to make that choice. Actually, God won't force you to make that choice. He leaves that squarely up to you. But once that line that crosses into eternity is passed, everything is fixed forever. A man named Mr. Alexander wrote a poem. I used to preach with a man for many years who quoted it in almost every gospel meeting. There is a line by us unseen that crosses every path, the hidden boundary between God's mercy and God's wrath. And friend, when you step over that line, everything stays the same forever and forever and forever. Where are you going to be for all eternity? The question could not be simpler. The choices could not be clearer. It's heaven or hell forever. Choose well. Choose Christ.